Welcome to the ADHD and HD podcast. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD or suspect you do have ADHD, then this is the podcast for you. This podcast is focused on helping entrepreneurs, public figures, and CEOs thrive while living with an adult diagnosis of ADHD. My name is Ashley Brianna Eve, a triple certified coach, including in positive psychology and human design. I fuse the spiritual with logical, scientific principles to help you flourish despite your diagnosis. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, ADHD and HD. And today our topic is leveraging your strengths. Now, for those that don't know or haven't listened to previous episodes, my background is actually in psychology. And I spent many years in the counseling field working with everyone from children all the way up to adults that were out of the workforce due to extreme mental health experiences that they personally were moving through. So I was in the field for a very long time. And one of the reasons I burned out and left the field was the focus on trying to shore up weaknesses and pick at weaknesses and trying to get people to be better at their weaknesses. And I always was focusing on leveraging strengths. And at that time in the psychology field, and I maybe still to this day, for all I know, I'm not in it anymore, that was an uphill battle. And during my coaching journey of transitioning my career over to an online coaching business, I found positive psychology and human design, of course. And both are about leveraging your strengths. And I really wish I had access to both of those when I was a counselor. And yet, everything is as it's meant to be. That's why I found it now. So let's talk about today leveraging your strengths and the importance of that with an ADHD brain. So let's look at first why strengths from a positive psychology lens. I want to share this quote that I honestly don't know who said it originally, but I wanted to share it here with you. Your best bet for success lies in building on who you already are, not trying to become someone you're not. And that is such a quote that's in alignment with what Ra Uruhu always said. He used to talk about when he was alive, how we spend our entire existence trying to be someone we're not, trying to fix our weakness and live through our openness. And he said, give yourself a chance to see things differently and leverage your strengths. So that quote from positive psychology really hits for someone that's also in love with human design. So positive psychology says that, one, we can look at a strengths-based approach when we're helping people. Now, this is not specifically in terms of ADHD right here that they're talking about it. We do get into that in a moment. However, strengths psychology is about developing what we are naturally good at instead of focusing on our weaknesses. And I really believe for those that have an ADHD diagnosis, and maybe due to experiences you've had in life, it can be very easy to focus on our weaknesses, to focus on what we're not good at. And this is a manifestation energy type principle. However, what we focus on expands. So the more we fixate on our weaknesses and the more we create identities around our weakness, the more we manifest and create more weakness. And the more we focus more on the weakness, the more we're quote unquote stuck within the weaknesses. And it can feel like you're almost walking through quicksand trying to find your way out. So strengths-based psychology is focusing on what we are naturally good at instead of focusing on our weaknesses. It's not that we bypass them. It's not that we ignore it, because ignoring, especially with our ADHD brain, some of our weaknesses or some of the ways our brain may perceive things or experience things can also create issues in our business as well, right? So we can leverage our strengths and put systems or structure in place to support our weaknesses rather than focus on trying to fix them. Strength psychology is based on the simple notion that a person's talents do more than making them unique rather than trying to fix your weaknesses. Our greatest talents, the ways in which we most naturally think, feel, and behave, represent our innate power and our potential. When we tap into this source of wisdom and power, we are most efficient, we act with more confidence, direction, and hope, and we are also more productive. Because let's be honest, I work with a lot of public figure clients that have ADHD, established entrepreneurs and CEOs. we still require to be productive. We can't just focus on the weakness of time blindness and restlessness. We can't focus on just that and then manifest more of that in our business. It is a requirement that we are productive when we are getting things done. And when we focus on a strengths-based approach, research does show that we have more confidence, more direction, more hope, and we're more productive. This unique approach to development builds on one's areas of greatest potential rather than seeking to shore up their weaknesses. There's nothing wrong with being aware of your weakness. I'm not saying bypass it or ignore it. It's about managing them, supporting our weaknesses without trying to be someone we never were, without piling on the guilt and shame of who we should be or how we need to be. Your greatest opportunity for success lies in building on your natural talents, not fixing your weaknesses. Studies have shown and found that most of us are also blind to what we do best. Not just the second lines. If you are in tune with human design or you've been in the human design industry, you might think, oh, that's a second line thing. Actually, research shows that humans in general are blind to what we do best. So to become more strengths focused, the first step is getting clear on what you are, who you are, what your strengths are, and then how they show up in work and life. When we understand that, we can see that, we can begin leveraging that. We can start tuning into them. And then that makes us feel more engaged and energized and enjoying what we're doing. There's so many clients I sit across from on consulting calls, ADHD or not, for a consulting call, we're not worried about that. In many cases, I shouldn't use that brushstroke. In many cases, we're not. We're looking at fixing a problem in the business. However, when they're operating their business through should, need, and have to, and working through trying to fix their weaknesses or be someone they think they need to be accepted or to prove themselves, they're not engaged. They're not enjoying the content they're putting out or the content creation process. They're not energized. They're constantly feeling burned out and drained, and they're not enjoying what they do. And it's because they're fixating on what they should do, living through their openness, trying to shore up their weaknesses rather than really leveraging, you know what, this is what I enjoy. This is what I'm good at. So let's leverage that in business. Let's make a business around this. Traditional approaches to ADHD have been more deficit focused. I mean, psychology in general, like I said, has been more deficit focused. That was the one thing that just did not resonate with me when I was in the psychology field. So it's shore up your weaknesses, fix your weakness. And even for the ADHD brain, maybe you've had people in your life tell you at one point or another, just buckle down more, just work harder, right? The conditioning around that, shore up those weaknesses. So first, when we're looking at from an ADHD lens, this is psychology research that's showing from an ADHD lens, we're now focusing on a strengths-based model of neurodiversity. That's called an SBMN, strength-based model of neurodiversity. And this acknowledges the challenges inherent in neurodiversity, but also emphasizes its strengths, your strengths. Again, we're not ignoring it because there are limitations. There are obstacles. There are things that are inherently harder with an ADHD brain. I do not see ADHD as a superpower. And it does not mean we're doomed. It does not mean we are going to not be able to succeed. There is a lot of proof around us of ADHD individuals that are just as successful, if not more successful, than those that do not have ADHD. So again, we want to look back at the identities we are holding and who we are being, how we're defining ourselves. And are we identifying ourselves through our weaknesses, or are we identifying ourselves through our strengths? Are we living through our shadows and our openness, or are we living through our wisdom and our strengths? Your wisdom and strength is going to be your openness and your definition in human design. Second, the SBMN draws on positive psychology. I'm obsessed with positive psychology. I think if I could go back and do school differently, I would have got a master's in positive psychology, but here we are. Everything is perfect as it's meant to be. It draws on positive psychology, which was designed to promote well-being, contentment, and satisfaction. When we apply positive psychology to neurodiversity, we emphasize the strengths inherent in neurodiverse conditions and how these allow the attainment of personally relevant life goals and values. Positive psychology emphasizes a balanced, strengths-oriented lifestyle that increases awareness of personal strengths, beliefs in one's ability, engagement in relationships, and enhance self-satisfaction through successful action. Again, I'm so obsessed with positive psychology. And I think the one thing that drew me to it the most was the holistic lens that we're looking through. Third, the SBMN draws on positive psychiatry, which focuses on positive attributes, strengths, and protective factors. One thing I studied in my master's was risk versus resilience and the protective factors that play a role within that. Psychoeducational approaches are favored in positive psychiatry to increase well-being and personal growth. Positive psychiatry is predicted to reduce the emergence of diverse mental health difficulties. So it's really interesting. What we're focusing on still is your positive attributes, your strengths, your protective factors, the wisdom that you've gained through the openness of your body graph, through going to school in life, through your openness, not shoring up the weaknesses, not fixating on what's wrong with you and how do we fix it, which tends to also pile on the guilt and shame for being different. Now, when we're applying this to human design and the human design lens, there is something that is very important for me to say here. ADHD has nothing to do with your design in the sense of your human design caused it. I find the online space has trivialized ADHD by saying, oh, I'm an MG and I'm so ADHD. You are not ADHD if you're an MG, a manifesting generator. Yes, certain aspects of your design can amplify certain experiences of the ADHD brain, yet it did not cause it. So this is really important because I feel like there's two camps that we see with ADHD and human design. And the one camp is human design caused it. And look, we can see these gates, we can see these channels, we can see this type that you are, and it caused your ADHD. And the other camp is you're a generator. Just go work off your energy. That's why you're restless. Just work harder. You're a projector. That's, you know, and there's these blanket statements given based on your type or based on your design, because, you know, it's either your design totally caused it or ADHD isn't even real. Just go off and work off your energy generator. And the reality is no, ADHD is not caused by your human design. And there are experiences that are definitely different with your body graph and experiences of the body graph itself that are going to change because of your ADHD brain. What we want to look at is your strengths. First and foremost, what I look at with my clients, especially my ADHD clients, are their strengths. That is anything that's defined in your chart. Even the different layers. So below the body graph, when we're looking at tone, color, etc., that's below the body graph. Those are also your strengths. That's in the realm of the differentiation degree, which I am just finishing up year one of. It's about a 2.5 year degree when we look at the totality, including the winter break. It's about 2.5 years. So I believe it's spring 2025 that I'll be finishing the differentiation degree. And that's the primary health system and rave psychology, which is what really sparked me talking more about ADHD and human design, because I was just seeing those layers come out and helping explain our experiences with the ADHD and how we experience human design and ways that we can help manage ADHD and amplify our strengths through rave psychology and the primary health system. So when we're looking at your design, everything that's defined is fixed and reliable within you. That is your strength. Now, just because it's your strength does not mean you are experiencing it in a correct way. I have a defined, this is my chart right here. I have a defined G center, and I spent a lot of my life not wanting anyone's help, believing I was the lone wolf, that I could do it all alone. And that was such an unhealthy expression of the G center. And it really created a lot of a disease essentially in the body because of that unhealthy use of my energy and that unhealthy use of a defined G center. So simply because something's defined does not mean that you're using it correctly. However, it is a fixed and reliable way that you're going to express the energy. So when we're looking at ADHD and the ADHD brain, this might be where certain ADHD symptoms are consistently expressed through you. It's just consistent. You're like, oh yeah, I can identify with that. Oh yes, I can identify with that. It's always who I am and how I am, right? That can be a way that the definition expresses your ADHD symptoms. Where you are open, that's where you're receptive. You're taking in the conditioning from around you and the energy around you. And this is also where you gain your wisdom in life. This is where a lot of people live through, is their openness, right? If I am just like this and I shore up these weaknesses and I get better at this, then I can blank, then I can achieve my goals, then I can be the perfect partner, et cetera. But we're not meant to live through our openness. We're meant to experience life through our openness. And where you might find your ADHD symptoms expressed through the openness is it's inconsistent. So for example, with me, I have an open solar plexus. Maybe you have an open solar plexus and you don't really have emotional dysregulation or those emotional anxiety almost expression of the ADHD brain. You don't have the emotional dysregulation issues. Or did I say regulation issues? Emotional dysregulation issues. You don't really have those emotional outbursts unless you're around someone else that has a defined solar plexus and they're putting out emotional chaos into the environment. And now not only are you experiencing emotional dysregulation, not only are you experiencing emotional outbursts, but it's worse than the original person that brought the energy in. So you're amplifying it at 200% because we amplify the energy at 200%. And this can be also where I believe, and it's my belief, a lot of people are getting diagnosed as ADHD as adults and weren't diagnosed as kids because it's inconsistent. There's certain aspects of who you be that are inconsistent. So something like that could just be, well, you grew up in a volatile home, or maybe, you know, it's trauma. But really what was there was a diagnosis of, or what should have been there is a diagnosis of ADHD. And that emotional dysregulation or the outbursts or irritability, et cetera, was really only coming out in certain situations because that's the expression of your body graph. That's the expression of your energy. That's how the energy would move through you. And of course, if you have an undefined splenic center, which is holding on to things that are no longer good for you, and an undefined solar plexus, you might be holding on to relationships that are no longer good for you, which is maybe emotionally volatile. Maybe that person, ideally, if you're holding, not ideally, but how the energy would work is if you have an undefined splenic center and undefined solar plexus, and you're holding on to someone that feel good energy that's not good for you, it would tend to be someone that has a defined splenic center and defined solar plexus. So in this analogy, move with me here. If you are holding on to things that are no longer good for you, you have the undefined splenic center, undefined solar plexus, you could be holding on to someone that is not good for you, not healthy for you. They're emotionally dysregulated. They have those outbursts. They have, you know, anger issues, and you're holding on to them, not because they're right for you, but because they have a defined splenic center and you're holding on to that feel good energy, even if it's not good for you, of the defined splenic center, which is amplifying your emotional dysregulation and your emotional outbursts. And it can really make you feel like you're going crazy. Right? And it might not be hormones. It might not be, you know, something I talk about with my clients as well, because I work with a lot of women that are going through menopause, starting their journey with menopause and perimenopause. And they think, well, maybe it's the hormones. It might be. And this is why we need holistic views on you as a human being and what you're experiencing. It might be your hormones. And are we amplifying, you know, is there maybe a undiagnosed ADHD there? You're amplifying someone's emotional dysregulation, or it could be simply, it's not hormones, it's not ADHD, but you are holding on to someone that's no longer good for you, and you're amplifying their emotional dysregulation, which makes you feel like you're going crazy, which makes you feel like I'm always on edge, I'm always having these outbursts. But this is why I'm so passionate about long-term coaching with people. This is why my deconditioning packages are a minimum of 6 months, because it is complicated. You are complicated. And the online space wants to uncomplicate you and say it's all your trauma, or it's all your hormones, or it's all your mindset, or it's all because you're holding on to stress in the body, or it's all because of human design. And they're trying to pull you apart and make you pick a side. It's like, has anyone listening ever had parents that went through a divorce, right? And you have to pick a side. And I feel like the internet is trying to make us pick a side. And what I'm saying is I'm in the gray zone. What I'm saying is I'm holding space for the, maybe the hormones, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the trauma, maybe undiagnosed ADHD. Let's dive in and find out what's going on. Let's pull back the layers. And that might not be sexy. It might not be the Amazon fix people want, like the Amazon Prime fix people want. But that's just painting more layers on the not self. Those quick fixes are at a detriment. Those quick fixes are at a price. It's like when I was a personal trainer and holistic nutritionist. Well, I guess I technically still am, but I don't practice anymore. Those quick fixes, those diet pills come at a price. So who I work with are those that are willing to go on the deep deconditioning journey, because it is deep. And there is a possibility that also people are misdiagnosed ADHD due to how their body graph's expressed. We don't know. We get to dive into that. We get to dive into that. You don't have to. We get to. So I wanted to bring also a lens to some very successful individuals that leverage their strengths. And one of those is Simone Biles. I don't even like gymnastics. I don't even watch gymnastics, but if this woman's competing, I have to watch her. She is so magnetic. She is so talented. And I just can't not watch her, even though I'm not a gymnastics fan. She is the most decorated, I think, gymnast. What I could find said American gymnast, but I'm fairly certain the most decorated gymnast in the world. And I can't believe this, but hackers leaked confidential medical records about her use of prescription drugs. And she actually said to ESPN, "I have ADHD and have taken medication for it since I was a child. Having ADHD and taking medication for it is not, it is nothing to be ashamed of, nothing that I'm afraid to let people know." This is a woman that has been wildly successful. And so while, yes, we could say that there are factors with the ADHD brain that can complicate success, that can complicate our experience of life. And that's why I want to start this episode with the view of strengths-based psychology. Because when we leverage your strengths and we find the proper use for your energy, for her as a generator, her self-expression, you can be wildly successful. Every single human being is limited in some way. This is something I want to express to you, whether it's trauma, ADHD, whatever the case may be, every one of us has limitations. That is the entire point of human design, Ross said. You have limitation. You're open in some ways. We have split definitions where we're drawn to the other. You know, we're like puzzle pieces coming together. Believing you can't be successful due to ADHD or that it's harder, ultimately, and I will die on this hill, is a mindset. Could we argue for it being harder? Of course you can argue for it being harder. There's a lot in life you can argue is harder to achieve, but arguing for your limitations, arguing for your limitations and weakness is not going to get you the results you desire. Trying to shore up your weaknesses is not going to get you the results you desire. So you can choose to have the mindset that's harder. Or you can choose that, sure, there's limitations and nothing's going to stop me. Because no matter what, we all have limitation. Michael Phelps is another one. He was diagnosed with ADHD at age 9, and he went on to become the most decorated Olympian of all time, swimming his way to a record-breaking 23 gold medals. I don't know if there's more or not. That's the most recent information I could find. And according to his mother, swimming helped her son manage his symptoms from a young age by keeping him focused and disciplined. So again, strengths-based approach. And that's what I want you to start looking at. How can we leverage your strengths? There are ways to keep you focused, to keep you on track, to keep you working towards your goals. And we want to look at how can we leverage your strengths in business and life. That is the key. Not in trying to shore up your weaknesses, not trying to be someone you're not. Not doing what you think you need to, should, have to, because you've been living your entire life through your openness, because everyone else has had an opinion on who you should be, right? It's being and doing what your strengths are here for. And something I want to add, talking about Michael Phelps, is there's a misconception with generators of just work yourself to the ground and wear out that sacral energy and you'll be good. Just work it off. Do something you love and you'll be good. And I get so many generators and manifesting generators that are public figures, CEOs, highly accomplished individuals. And they're like, I'm working myself into the ground. Sure, I'm successful, but I am burned out. I am exhausted and I am not flourishing, right? Just because you worked yourself into the ground does not mean the restlessness will be gone. Does not mean you'll be flourishing. Does not mean you'll be happy. So finding outlets for your energy. And we can see this typically, how I look at that for my clients, is from the defined root up into the splenic center and solar plexus is primarily where we look, not the sacral necessarily. So when we find outlets for the energy, it'll also help you manage the symptoms without constant burnout and work. For me, running is huge. It's one of the best ways for me to dispatch that energy. I've tried other ways. Someone suggested, and it's funny, her activations actually support that, crocheting. Oh man. God save me. I was so frustrated I even got, is it the Wobbles? Which is a fantastic company. This is nothing to say about the company itself. I love it. Comes with little videos, walks you through. I just could not, right? So running is a big one for me, or even CrossFit. So when we are focusing on leveraging your strengths, again, what we want to look at is what's fixed and reliable in your chart. What is defined? And then from leveraging your chart, we can help manage the ADHD symptoms and also be aware of maybe where you amplify certain aspects of ADHD symptoms, or where there's these little traps that you get into, or these conditioned places that are cycles, and maybe even they become cycles of self-sabotage. But understanding how we can leverage your chart gives us an individualized, holistic approach on how to manage your ADHD and also be aware of the areas of conditioning. So I want to give you guys an example, and that's the strength within 41 to 30. So this is a strength of imagination. And if you have the 41 to 30, you may be able to relate with what I am about to say. And here's the thing. I'm going to talk about the strengths and then talk about how it can be expressed in an unhealthy way. And I have multiple clients with this strength that have ADHD. So this is something I don't personally have it, but I've had experience and have experience working with clients that have it. So if you have the channel 41 to 30, which is a strength of imagination, you have the ability to use your focused energy to fantasize countless scenarios of what could be. So it's an entrepreneurial energy, right? That innovator energy, the dreamer energy. There's an endless yearning to take in new experiences. Your dreams and desires can create expectations that, you know, kind of like in the hands of fate, may or may not be fulfilled. And there can be an almost, and I hate to use the word should be, but in alignment, there's this energy of trusting the fates, right? Not getting fixated on the outcome. Your restlessness for new experiences is best balanced by developing the patience and self-control to take sufficient time to make clear decisions, which when we're looking at impulsivity being a pillar of ADHD and the ADHD brain, understanding this energy can be huge, and understanding your energy is huge. And how do we work with the ADHD brain of impulsivity and also have the patience and self-control to properly use this energy, especially if you're a generator? For everyone, but especially the generator tends to be a bit more impulsive, respond to things they never had the energy for in the first place, and then burn out and quit. The secret to harnessing your strength is simply enjoying your dreams and each experience in and of itself without giving in to the pressure of expectation. And finally, accepting what it allows, which is experiences. The 41 and 30 is about experiences and allowing yourself to have those reflections. Share your dreams with others. And that's also going to stir emotions and feelings in others as well and inspire others. Now, how this channel can be complicated with ADHD. You may start a bunch of things, but never follow through. Like the dreamer with no follow through, the innovator with no follow through, right? You innovate, you have these great ideas, but you get distracted. You have all these great ideas about taking over the world, but you never follow through on any of them. That can be a big way this channel is expressed for those with ADHD. Sometimes I find clients come to me blaming the fact they're a manifesting generator for that. And there's this restlessness, and that restlessness gets taken out on the business. So where I work with my clients is we look at effective ways to dispatch the energy and the restlessness without taking it back, taking it out on the business itself. Because what I find here is someone almost expects their business to entertain them or put their pressure on their business to be everything to them. And when they do that and they're not dispatching the restlessness in other ways, dispatching their energy in other ways, it can turn into a business that's constantly pivoting, or again, ideas that are constantly being thought up, dreams constantly thought up, but no actual follow through. I wanted to share that this channel actually Steve Jobs has. Now, there is speculation he had ADHD, although there's no confirmation. Either way, I think that's a little bit irrelevant. What I wanted to show is that this channel is not being off in La La Land, never bringing anything to fruition. That's what I wanted to express by sharing Steve Jobs, because at the time of his passing, he had amassed a fortune worth $10.2 billion. He's the co-founder of Apple Computers, of course, and it's what everyone knows him as, and the former chairman of Pixar Animation Studios. And he completely revolutionized the computer and animation industries. And we could argue it's that dreamer, that's the innovation that comes through with the 41 to 30. But again, I wanted to use this as an example that this isn't just being head in the clouds, never bring anything to life. The question is for him, is he using his energy correctly for the right dreams, for the right inspiration, for the right innovations? If not, what you can find with the generators, manifesting generators, is they're constantly quitting. So research also shows that ADHD adults may often focus too much on managing their weaknesses. So it's not just the greater society, but us in general, ADHDers, focus on managing their weaknesses. So when we shift to focusing on talents and building strengths, it makes it a hell of a lot easier to reach your goals. It makes it much more fulfilling. It makes the ride that much more fun as well, which I think is important. We have a short time on this earth, and if you're not enjoying it, what the hell are you doing? Externalizing what you know about yourself is the first step to identifying your talents and strengths. That's from positive psychology and a strengths-based approach for ADHD. So while tools such as HumanZyme, Gene Keys, the Gallup Strengths Test, the VIA Character Strengths Test can be supportive of this, it's important to not use them in ways that support our current perceptions of ourselves and our abilities, right? Oh, okay, yeah, well, I'm a manifesting generator. That's why I'm X, Y, and Z. And then fighting for our limitations rather than fighting for our dreams. And this is a easy way people get in traps with systems such as Human Design or Gene Keys, which is using them as ways to confirm their current perception of themselves and their abilities. I always say to my clients, doing the same things over and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. I don't believe that is my quote, but it's something I say all the time. We must be willing to see things differently, and you must go first. Your personality creates your personal reality. Therefore, we have to look at what are the core identities you are operating from. What are the core identities that have become the software system of your subconscious and your body? And when we can identify those, we can shift into let's leverage your strengths, manage the weakness, and set you up for success. I like this quote from Ra Rahu. It's a little bit unrelated, but I really like it. As long as mind is both inner authority and outer authority, human beings are fundamentally liars. They cannot be truthful. They cannot be truthful because as long as the inner authority is the mind, then you know that every expression that is outer authority is determined by the agendas of the false inner authority of the not self. All right, so what's next? There's two ways we can look at how we work together. If this is something that you're desiring to dive deeper into, if you're desiring to dive deeper into deconditioning and really coming back to a strengths-based approach, leveraging your strengths, revealing your hidden potential. And if you have ADHD, looking at how do I experience that and Human Design and reach my goals, there's two ways. You can check out holistichumandesignanalyst.com and send me a message through there. I don't have any packages available posted yet. Or you can email me at support@ashleybrandeteve.com, and I'd be honored to support you and discuss different options we have for working together. Now, something I do want to say is packages do start at $1,200 a month, and that's just something to keep in mind when you're reaching out. The one-on-one packages do start there, but I would be honored to support you and help you really untangle the rat's nest of the conditioning, who you've been told you should be, where you've been operating through the openness, and really leverage your strengths to create a life and business by design. All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys.